in with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. We want to say today that we're dealing with another great sermon of the Bible, and I'm going to call this a sermon that's found back in the Old Testament, given to us by David, which was, of course, offered about 1,000 years before Christ came to this earth. I'm referring to the 23rd Psalm, and I simply want to refer to it as the Psalm of Life. You know, the thought came to my mind some time ago when someone was talking about, well, why is the 23rd Psalm used so often at the time of death or at a memorial service? And I began analyzing that psalm as a sermon and as a teaching that was offered by David. And I realized that there's only one verse in the six verses that really deals with death. So really why it is offered, I'm sure, unconsciously maybe, is because it tells us so much about life. In the face of death, we must realize that God is greater than death. God is greater than all the things that man has in this world. So life that God can give is greater than death. God is truly the author of life. He's that who does not want men to perish, but he wants them to come to repentance, that they might actually eventually go home to live with him in that glorious home. I thought it might be well on the broadcast today to note, as we look at this teaching here, the scope that it covers in life and how it causes the Christian who is prepared to meet the Lord to face the event of death. Of course, it begins in a very definite manner that I know you're familiar with when it talks about the leadership of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, back in the Old Testament from Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter and verse 4, God was looked upon as Lord, and he still can be called Lord today. But on this side of the cross, we understand that Jesus occupied the position as the one Lord, as taught in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. In fact, in that sermon that Peter preached at Pentecost in Acts, the 2nd chapter, you remember when he brought that sermon to its climax, he said, "This same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ." And then when he's talking about the house of the Lord, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, he occupies the house of the Lord as that which must be recognized as the body of Jesus Christ, which is his church. Remember Paul told Timotheus there in 1 Timothy 3:15, he said the house of the Lord is the pillar and ground of the truth. He wanted that to be held in the minds of the people who received the message that Timothy would pass on as an evangelist. So the leadership of the Lord on this side of the cross must be looked upon as Christ, as a King of kings and Lord of lords. So Paul made it plain in Colossians 3:17 when he said, "Whatsoever we do in word or deed, let us do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So we do in our Christian life in saying and doing by his authority. So he introduces the sermon here by telling us that this shepherd, who is the Lord, provides those things that we need along this life. Then he gets into the physical aspect of life in verse 2, when he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside still waters." Now the sheep, of course, are entering into the picture here, and this would be the example being used to come home to you and to me today, that as Christians we are following the shepherd, we are the sheep of his fold. But think with me in a physical way what green pastures and still waters would mean to sheep. Now sheep are not known, of course, for their pugilistic qualities. They're not known as an elephant would be known for its strength. But the sheep are something that can be very humble. I realize there can be some sheep that are cantankerous. That's what people have told me to raise sheep. But the point is that the sheep are now safe and secure. They have plenty to eat. They have plenty to drink. What's this imply? Well, I'd like to say that Jesus said in that great Sermon on the Mount that we referred to some time ago, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I'm led to believe that if we put God first in our life, and this includes giving to God as we have been prospered, that he will bless us. Now, it isn't put on the basis, "I'll just do this so God will bless me," but we love him, we keep his commandments, we do his will. So there is something provided for us as we actually come to the green pastures and the still waters in life. But then let's look at the spiritual part of the picture here. In verse 3, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now this indicates that God in His leadership and Christ in His leadership will never lead a man or woman down a blind alley. When it says He restoreth my soul, it shows that He has an interest in our soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So you see, God is true. He has no variableness, no shadow of turning. Jesus Christ proved conclusively in this life that He would do the will of His Father, for at the dark hour of His life in the garden, He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And then when we get to verse 4, right in the middle of this sermon, in the middle of this chapter, we have death looming up. Someone says, "Well, here are the sheep in green pastures by still waters. Here's the restoration of the soul. Here's the idea that He's leading us in a way that's right, for Christ said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life.' But what about death? There, death is staring me in the face. What am I going to do about death?" Now, you think with me on the broadcast this morning. What are you going to do about death? I said that to a lady one time. She said, "Well, I'm going to die." And that's about the best way to put it. But notice the darkness of death has a comfort and a solace here that the world cannot provide. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, the evil is not in sight here because He is with us. Now, doesn't this indicate the fellowship that we find first in this life with Christ? When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," in Matthew 11 and 29, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Then He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now, this yoke indicates fellowship. When we put on Christ, and we do when we're baptized according to the Bible. See, I would know this if I didn't read it in the Bible. Galatians 3:27. "For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When we put Him on, we have come to Him. We enter into a fellowship with Him. We become a part of Him spiritually. And He leads us through this life. There's the still waters. There's the green pastures. There's the idea that He wants us to be saved. We're following Him. And here comes this dark valley of death. We walk down through the valley of death, and I want to tell you, friends, He is with us. You know, Jesus let Martha in on a wonderful principle of Bible truth after her brother Lazarus had died. When you read that 11th chapter of John next time, you note that when Jesus was coming after Lazarus was already in the tomb, that Martha went out to meet Him. And she said, "Lord, if You'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But she said, "I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, He'll give it to you." And Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." She said, "Lord, I know, I believe that He'll raise. He'll come forth at the last day." And then Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." He said, "If one believes in Him, even though he be dead, yet shall he live." And then He said, "If you believe in Me, you'll never die." What's He talking about here? He's talking about the very same principle that we have in this fourth verse of Psalms 23. We will fear no evil because He is with us. This shows that death does not have the power to separate us from Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, friends, in these days of peril, in these days of uncertainty, in the days when people lack faith, here is a bulwark for our faith. Keep in mind that life is stronger than death with Jesus. Grace is stronger than sin. Love is stronger than hate. Keep this thought in mind. So when you come to the end of your life, if you're serving Him faithfully, you do not have to fear death. You know, a man told me about death one time. He thought that he died. He was wounded in the war. He thought that he died. He thought, "This is it. This is the way I'm going to die." "Did you ever stop to think how you're going to die?" He said, "This is it. I'm going to die." But he didn't die. But you know, he had a peace and a serenity that caused some of the physicians that attended him to have a conference. And he said he opened his eyes in a base hospital. And he said, there were five men standing around the bed. Now, these were doctors. And the question they wanted to ask him when he was able to answer questions why did you have so little amount of shock? The only answer he could give is, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian from the time I was a boy. Now, he wasn't boasting about this, but that's the only answer he could give. Because he said that hour in which he thought he was dying was altogether different than he thought it would be. You know, I've thought about the picture of life with pain, with suffering. This is all physical, isn't it? In other words, we have pains in our body. A person may be dying of a malignancy. There's great pain involved there. And painkillers are given to try to keep the pain down. That's all physical. And when we shed that old physical body, and that spirit goes back to God who gave it, and we walk down through that dark valley, the shadow of death, you see, there would be no pain. And the idea is that he's with us. And I talked to a brother one time out in the state of Montana who was a shepherd, a sheep herder, one who actually had followed that trade for a good many years. And he said, you know, when I, and he was a Christian, when I read this fourth verse and it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, keep in mind that a shepherd is never far from his rod or his staff. And so in the darkness of death, we have the light of the world. And what does light do to darkness? We find it overcomes it. So I want to tell you, friends, here's something for your life and for my life. Here's a sermon that has a punch to it, not the way I'm delivering it, but simply what is said in the Word of God. Then someone says, well, how about life? He's back to life again in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Imagine sitting across the table from your enemy, one who wants your life to be taken, one who certainly hates you. And yet he pictures this as though we would be at a place where we could look across the table our enemy and enjoy our meal. You see, this shows that we have the protection, we have the guidance in life. And it's like Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, since you're risen with Christ, or if you'll be risen with Christ, and there isn't a doubt what they were, so since you'll be risen with Christ is an important rendering. He said, you seek those things which are above. He said, your life is hid with Christ in God. That indicates security. And then there's victory here in this verse, in life, even in the presence of your enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So there's a wonderful thing. David knew what this was, to have his head anointed with oil. He was crowned a king. Samuel, remember, the first national prophet of Israel, had the distinction of crowning David. Well, he'd also crowned Saul prior to David's time as kings of Israel. So it's a wonderful thing. And then we have this closing comment. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, it doesn't begin dwelling in the house of the Lord in heaven. It begins in this life. And I want to say on this broadcast today, this is a wonderful teaching from the Bible. Think of it. 1,000 years before Jesus came, we have this Psalm of Life that tells us how to win the battle of life and how to win the battle of death. You see, we can't do it alone. We need his fellowship. We need his association. I want to leave this with you on the broadcast today. I trust this has been interesting to you. I trust it's been edifying to you. And if you're not a Christian, why aren't you a Christian? You can't give me one reason based upon that which is good for not being a Christian. Well, your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast. They invite you to their services. We invite you to tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast. We have one more lesson in this current series under the caption of Great Sermons of the Bible. Be with us next week at the same hour. May God bless us all as we obey his marvelous and wonderful truth.